AOCBs, community councillors, Lorraine?
Yeah. Yeah, I went, well, it was John I wanted to kind of pose some questions to, but obviously he's not here. But really about, there seems to be a bit of a housing crisis in Aberfeldy at the moment. There is lots of families looking to relocate here and can't find any houses to live in, whether it's renting, private renting, to buy, anything. Obviously, the property market's having a bit of a boom at the moment, but and employers are really struggling to get anybody to come and work for them because they can't find any accommodation for them to live in. Local people can't buy or rent houses because there just isn't any available. So it was just kind of to see, really, I wanted to ask John kind of what Perth and Kinross's view was on it. And maybe, you know, would there ever be a time where they would limit how many houses are used for holiday accommodation in an area? Because it seems to be that more and more, oh, that's John just coming back. John, we're just speaking about housing in Aberfeldy, and there seems to be a bit of a kind of crisis going on for people wanting to move to the area for work or just to relocate and things. Employers are really struggling to get staff who can find accommodation, long or short term. And just kind of wondering, you know, would there be a time where Perth and Kinross would look at limiting the amount of properties that are available in Aberfeldy for people purchasing as holiday homes and second homes, when there's such a crisis for local people not being able to find any accommodation at all?
I don't think responsibility for something like that would sit with the council. That would be not even sure if, you know, whether nationally you could do something along these lines.
I know in other places they do, and it seems to be the local council that do have responsibility for it, and having a cap to say, okay, you know, it's great, you want holiday people coming and, you know, you want people to come and holiday here. But when there's such a crisis, when local people can't, or, you know, will there be a time where, you know, you have to, the Perth and Kinross have to build more housing? I know they've just had the development at Duntoon, but the housing there that's available for Hillcrest, well, not everybody is able to get onto the renting market, if you like, through the council for whatever criteria, but there just isn't the properties for local people to buy up.
Within any new development, so, you know, the houses that are being built privately on Duntoon and at the other end of Aberfeldy, as and when they start that, there's always a requirement for a percentage of these to be what they would term affordable housing. So it's not all big, whatever, four-bedroom detached type properties. So there's a mixed kind of economy of houses that's designed to try and meet all wallets, I suppose. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, properties are concerned, then, you know, things like, you know, council tax for second homes and such, like, is a way in which you can, I don't know if you want to use the term penalise, but make it harder for people to, you know, to keep or own a second home. But I don't think it would be very easy if you were to say to somebody wanting to sell their home, you must sell it to a local person. You can't get the best price for it. You can't sell it to a retired couple from London who will pay you £250,000 for it. You've got to sell it to a local who'll give you 170.
But surely there can be some initiatives, or, you know, putting council tax on a second property for people who are renting them out at £1,000 a week to holidaymakers makes no difference to them. That's a drop in the ocean from what they're making on holiday lets. And, you know, yeah, you want the holidaymakers to come, but you also want people to be able to come here and live, to work and to raise their children here. And to stay. And I think, you know, these so-called affordable housing, like the ones along at Duntoon, £350,000 for people to buy locally, they're not earning that kind of money locally to be able to afford these houses. Even the ones at Fisher's, you know, that are hopefully there, they're over £250,000. So for young families wanting to come here, or for people who are working here, they don't earn that kind of money to be able to, you know, you're talking about for a deposit for somebody who's a first-time buyer, they're needing about £27,000 in the bank to be able to put down as a deposit that, you know, they can't get on the council housing waiting list because for whatever reason they don't qualify, they're not homeless, and these properties tend to be taken up with people who are on the homeless lists and things because properties in such a shortage. But I think it is something that really needs to be looked at, because there's lots of, you know, employers really struggling at the moment to get anybody to come and work for them because of the shortage of housing. But there's such a huge amount of holiday houses and second homes here that, you know, when does it stop? When is anybody able to buy locally? And, you know, do we need to then look at, you know, having more housing available for people to come and live in the area, not just to holiday in the area? And I know we'd spoken before about, you know, Perth and Kinross's stance on people owning a home but living in a council house, but I really would like to explore that further, and people having, you know, renting out one home but having a council house as well, when there's such a crying out demand for property in the area.
I know Xander McDade was interested at looking at housing issues through the Action Partnerships. We could maybe try and beef that up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think certainly something needs to be done, because people just can't get staff because they can't find any accommodation in the area at all.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Sorry, Victor, you know, you quote figures for the likes of Duntoon, but within that, there will be, I can't remember how many houses they're talking about putting on there, but there should probably be at least 25% of the houses that they build will be in the affordable bracket. Now, that still may be, I don't know, 120,000 maybe, for a property, which may or may not be what you would consider to be affordable, but developers have to supply, a percentage of the houses that they build as being affordable.
There just doesn't seem to be any evidence of them appearing anytime soon.
There's not. Sure.
There is something of
them at that bracket.
No.
Sorry.
I see.
Don't quote me on the figures I'm giving you, but
I see a lot of people on Facebook, you know, talking about wanting to move to Aberfeldy, and you know, whether it's just a passing fancy or not, it's hard to say. But a lot of them seem to be quite young, and you know, Aberfeldy
looking for, they've got jobs and they're trying to come to work here, and they can't, because there's no accommodation for them.
I think there are a lot of people who went out of cities and into smaller places as well. And I dare say, as well as in the housing market, that'll be the same in the rental market as well.
Alistair?
Yeah, I think this is a common issue around a lot of the community council meetings that I've been sitting on, and it's the kind of vicious circle between what you've said about an employment crisis as well, where there are plenty jobs but there's no people in the area who can afford to live in the area. So I think it is a very widely a wide I don't want to use this word crisis all the time, but it is a problem and double-edged with affordable housing. And I echo what Lorraine was saying there about the affordability doesn't seem to be, you know, for what people can afford with the jobs in the area that are on offer. So not saying that I'm coming up with any solution to it, but it's a very common thread within other areas in Highland Perthshire too.
I'll drop Xander my dad an email. Xander always likes a good campaign about things, so he's maybe willing to give this a bit of a rattle. Any other AOCBs? Elaine?
No, nothing.
Jean?
No, none.
Val?
No, I don't think so. No, the sewer. Somebody was on about the sewer because they said years ago that the sewer wasn't big enough for the houses that we had, and they've built 100 since. So what's happening with the sewer? Do they still empty it with lorries, which must cost the council a fortune?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Duff? John?
It's Scottish Water, they'll pay for it. Well,
Scottish Water, it's not the council. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Scottish Water.
But can they not make it larger? Because, I mean, if it wasn't, it couldn't take what we had before and they've built loads more houses, can they not do something about it?
I can ask if there's plans, Val, for the sewage system in the town.
But this has been going on for years. And as I say, sometimes in the summer when it's scorching hot and it's minging, it's disgusting.
It's done time not on, on a private sewage system, John, no? The new houses. Done time.
I would need to have a look and see what the...
I thought they were going on their own private sewage.
All right.
I'm sure they're stuff, eh?
I think they are. That's what I'd heard as well.
Yeah, sure they dug all that out and put in the sewage tanks.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure they did. So I don't think that's on the town one.
Oh well.
Certainly, with any development, you know, its impact on, you know, things like water supply, sewage, et cetera, is all things that they must satisfy the various stakeholders, you know, so Scottish Water, et cetera, they are a statutory consultee on any planning application of any size. And they get the opportunity to turn around and say, well, if you build 200 houses there, the sewage system won't cope, or the water system won't cope, or whatever, you know. So they do have the opportunity to feed into developments along these lines.
Okay, AOCB, Karen?
No, nothing.